You know, this is just a short little song, but it is a very powerful little song. It tells us so much about God. It tells us so much about ourselves. And it tells us so much about sin. And what I'd like to do this evening for just a few moments is I'd like to take this little song and break it down and talk about what it's trying to tell you and me. You know, I love to do that with the church songs anyway. We have so many wonderful messages within our hymnals. So tonight, let's take this little song and talk about some of the things that it can teach us about God, about ourselves, and about sin. First verse, it teaches us about the folly of sin. Verse 1 says, "For thee all the follies of sin I resign." Now, you know, if you look up in Mr. Webster, the word folly, he will tell you that the word folly means lack of good sense, foolish, and unprofitable. And when we think about folly, that's really what we're thinking about. Lack of good sense and foolish things, acting foolishly and being unprofitable. You know, I think one good definition and a good example of this definition we find in Luke chapter 15. And this, of course, is the story of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son, he came to his father and he said, "Father, give me the goods that come to me." And so he did. And he took all that he had and he went into a far country and just basically squandered it all. And when all of it was gone and he was left with nothing, he found himself in a pig pen feeding pigs. And he also found himself eating the food that the pigs did eat. But you know, we read in verse 17, it says that he came to himself. In other words, he realized the folly of what he had done. You know, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 15 in verse 21, folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. Now, I think we would all agree when we think about the prodigal son in Luke 15 and what he did, it was indeed senseless. It was a foolish thing for him to do. There was definitely folly in his actions. But as the definition goes on, it also says that folly means foolish. Now, I dare say that everyone in this room knows what foolish is. Because probably at one time or the other, every one of us has done something foolish. I would be the first to raise my hand for that. But what about foolishness from a spiritual standpoint? Have we ever been foolish spiritually? And can man be foolish spiritually? Well, the answer to that, of course, is yes. You know, the psalmist David says in Psalm 14 and verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, if this statement makes someone a fool, we have a lot of fools in the world today, don't we? And they are growing by leaps and bounds. People who deny the fact that there is a supreme being, deny the fact that there is a God that controls this universe. And David said, this is foolish. Paul gives us an example of spiritually foolish people in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, nor give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They did not recognize God for who he was, what he was, and how important he was to them in their lives." So folly means foolish. You know, folly is also defined as being unprofitable. I don't have to tell you that sin is a bad investment because of what it pays. Now, you know, we have people who sin every day. All of us have fallen into the trap of sin. But the price that it has is unbelievable. You know, Isaiah tells us the price is separation from God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. You can go back and say your foolishness, your unprofitableness has ended you here. And there are so many people that is going to stand before God in judgment and literally stand in these shoes, and they have done it to themselves because of their folly. And Paul tells us the severe consequences of sin in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin. And we know what it is, don't we? It is death. We need to take heed to this first verse of this psalm. And we need to resign from all of the folly of sin. Because sin is foolish. Sin is unprofitable. And yes, we do need to avoid it. The second verse of this psalm declares that we have freedom. Freedom in Christ. Verse 2 says, "And purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree." You see, there's another interesting thing about sin that we really don't want to think about, and that is the fact that sin enslaves us. It makes slaves of all of us. In John chapter 8, verses 33 and 34, Jesus is having a conversation with the Jews about this, and they say to Jesus in verse 33, "We are Abraham's offspring and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Because sin enslaves. Every one of us, folks, can be enslaved by sin. And I'll go as far as to say this. Every one of us at one time or the other have been enslaved by sin. There may be someone here now under the sound of my voice who is enslaved by sin. Because that's what sin does. It enslaves. But that's not what this verse 2 is about. Verse 2 is about the pardon. Verse 2 is about the freedom. You see, Christ's blood can set us free from this slavery, from this bondage of sin. We back up to verse 31 and 32 of John chapter 8. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed on him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There is freedom in Jesus Christ. There is freedom in his words. There is freedom because he went to the cross. There is freedom because he came out of the tomb. And we have that freedom through him. But there's another thought about being free that we need to talk about. And that is, even though we are free, even though the blood of Christ sets us free, we are still servants. And it is an honor to be this servant, because we become servants of God. You know, according to the Apostle Paul, after being freed from the bondage of sin, we now can become servants of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 or 17 and 18. "Thanks be to God," he said, "that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." We now have an opportunity. We're no longer in the bondage of something that makes us do what is wrong. We are now in the property of those who can help us do that which is right. God will help us do that which is right. And that gives us freedom But yet and still it helps us to know that we can serve God in a righteous way. We are free because God purchased us with the blood of Christ on Calvary. And then the last verse of this psalm talks about the result of that freedom. It talks about our future home. Verse 3 says, in mansions of glory and endless delight. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never experienced endless delight. Have you? Now, I have experienced delight, and I guess we all have at one time or the other. We have experienced things going good in our lives, and we just can't at times maybe imagine it ever being any better than what it is. We've all experienced that. But you know, those things usually come to an end, don't they? One way or the other. I have never experienced endless delight. But I want you to know I have that ahead of me. You have that ahead of you if you are a child of God. Endless delight. You know, Jesus spoke about heaven as this place that gives us endless delight. He spoke about it several times. First, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, and this is a beautiful verse. He tells us, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Imagine a place like that where nothing goes wrong, nothing decays, nothing breaks apart, nothing goes away. It's endless. Endless delight. Jesus also tells us there is going to be a place like that. I am going to prepare for you a place just like that. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You and I, my friends, have a part of this glory, this endless delight, and it's going to be there in heaven because heaven is going to be a place of godly people, and we can surround ourselves with the very best that never comes to an end. You know, Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, that they may enter through the gates of the city. Do you know why Adam and Eve had to leave the Garden of Eden? Because sin had entered their lives and they no longer had a right to the tree of life. You and I sitting here today do not have a right to the tree of life because we still have to deal with sin. In heaven, sin will not be there and we will have a right to the tree of life. Isn't that a wonderful thought? In those mansions of glory, in this place of endless delight. And when we think about that, we have to think about those who did not make it. In the contrast of that which heaven offers us is a horrible thing. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the fornicator, nor the idolaters, the adulterers, the homosexuals, the sodomites, the thieves, the covetous, the drunkards, the revilers, the extortioners. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to have these things. They're not going to experience endless delight. They are going to experience endless torture. Endless condemnation. And in Revelation 21 and verse 8, the list goes on. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is what awaits those who are outside of Christ. But those of us who are inside of Christ, we have mansions of glory waiting for us. We have endless delight, which again is something I've never experienced, and I'm looking so forward to seeing that. You know, every time we sing this little song, we need to be reminded of the foolishness of sin. We need to be reminded of the freedom that we can have in Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded of this eternal home, this future home that is ours through obedience to our Lord and our Savior. You know, there may be someone here tonight who is living in the foolishness of sin. Maybe either because you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, or maybe because you have gone back into the world. I want you to know, friends, that our future home is with the Father. You know, the prodigal son found this out in a physical way. He realized, sitting in that pig pen, eating the pods from the pigs, if I was only at home, I could have bread and to spare. My Father would give me everything that I need. He gives even the servants the things that they need. Home is where the Father is. And if you're not lined up to be at home with the Father, you need to think about your life and what changes that you need to make. We need to know today that Jesus loves you. We need to know today that Jesus died for you. We need to know today that He is preparing a place for you and that He is coming back. And He would like, in a great way, to take you back with Him to that home, that mansion of glory, and that place of endless delight. And oh, it can be yours if you will only give your life to Him today. If you find that you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, please come now while we stand and sing.